You're listening to a message from Southland Church. To learn more about Southland, including our service times and upcoming events, listen to us online at mysouthland.com. Today's message comes from lead pastor Stefan Dirksen.
It is great to see you guys this morning. This last Wednesday, we did the Sunrise Summit, which was awesome. I couldn't believe how many of you actually showed up that early in the morning. I know you guys are participating in lots of stuff. But we have stuff running all month long, and this week is gonna be the worship night, and then we have Prayer Summit coming up. So if you haven't yet, you know, joined in on one of those Wednesday things that we've done, resting prayer, I would encourage you to consider coming to the worship night. That's going to be great. And please do come to that prayer summit because that's going to be a special time and a special way to wrap up the month of prayer and fasting. Now, I've often said the only bad prayer is the one you don't pray. And I'll keep saying it because I'm trying to encourage prayer, because I see one of the hindrances to prayer is often overcomplicating what it is. And so that's why I like to encourage people, the worst prayer that you can pray is the one that you just didn't pray. You have not because you ask not. Now I recognize James also says in that very same passage I quoted, you ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your own desires. So I do recognize there is bad prayer and good prayer, but I want to encourage real prayer from the heart. And if you'll see that passage that's gonna come up on the screen right away, is Luke 18 verse 1, Jesus gives that parable of the widow who's demanding justice and the judge that finally gives it to her. But he starts off by saying, the purpose of this parable, I'm telling you this so that you will what? Always pray and not give up. Then when we go to the Psalms, and the Westminster Catechism actually I think was based on this passage, Psalm 62:8, then at all times, O people, pour out your heart before him. And so it's these verses that really kind of fuel that phrase. And so I want to encourage prayer in any form, especially if you're starting. Pray to God, pour out your heart, and then refine it. That said, I do want to talk about effective prayer, because clearly some prayers seem to be more effective than others. I think most of us in here who've had a prayer life have probably experienced this already, and if you haven't, that's amazing. But some of you might still be there, and that is the idea of, I prayed, I did that, it didn't work. So what do we do with that, right? So I prayed, I tried that, I even prayed maybe for a month of prayer and fasting, I gave it a consistent bit of time, but prayer didn't work. And so today I wanna talk about effective prayer, which really is birthed out of understanding the primary purpose of prayer, and that is to partner with God. But we're gonna get to that in just a moment. Years ago, I was talking to a young woman. I don't know how many years ago, it's a long time ago. Anyways, she was about to have surgery, or was scheduled for a surgery that was, you know how the Canadian healthcare system works. About to have surgery can mean whatever. Anyways, but sorry, I love this system. My knees are feeling great, by the way. No brace, huh? Feeling good? Yeah, so I'm rocking, only one little wince on the way up here. But she's gonna have surgery, terrified. So that's a common response that people have to upcoming surgeries, is terror, fear. They don't know what to expect. And so she had been praying and the prayer didn't seem to be working. Now, it puts you in a bit of a spot, right? Because you're praying for God to remove your fear. That's what she was really praying for. Lord, meet me in my anxiety, meet me in my fear. She's going through with the surgery. But she was praying and nothing was happening. And so she even said, well, I've even tried, you know, listening, and you read the word and you listen and you get words from the Lord, but nothing seems to work. It doesn't seem to change anything. And so I asked her if I could just, you know, ask a couple of questions. She was fine with that. And so I asked her the first one. And the first question I asked was, so if you had a total stranger in the room that would come with you into the room for surgery, that would walk with you every step of the way, total stranger. They would encourage you, walk with you. Would that help? And she quickly responded, absolutely not. That would offer zero help. In fact, she probably wouldn't even, I don't know if she said this at that point, but she didn't even really want a stranger in the room with her. Most of us, if we're in an overwhelming situation, we don't want to be around strangers. So I asked, well, what about someone that you know, sort of, but you don't know them well? Like, you know their name, so you know them, you've seen them around, you maybe even said hi, but you don't know them well. Would that help? And that one she thought about a little bit longer. The first one was an absolute no. The second one she did have to think about, and then she said, no, still, that wouldn't help. That wouldn't help. And then finally I got to the last one, and I said, well, what about if you had your mom? I mean, everyone, including myself, right? When something goes wrong, who do you want? Mom, right? If you're sick, you want mom. If you're having surgery, you want mom. And so what if your mom or your best friend was in the room with you? Would that help? And it was an emphatic and immediate yes. So wait a minute. I mean, what's actually the difference? Like, what's going on here? I mean, is not a person, I mean, we've talked about image bearers. People are image bearers no matter what. In all three cases, you have an image bearer, someone created in the image of God in the room. In all three cases, they may even say or do the exact same things and say the exact same words. So why is it that two of the three you draw little to zero strength from, but when you look at the mom or a best friend, that somehow we just know that's someone that I can draw strength on in a time of need. That's someone who will help me when I need to be helped. And I asked her that, and she knew right away it's because she knows them. You see, when you know someone and when they know you and you're known by them, there is something about that. Even if your circumstances don't change, they are a source of strength for you. And I think, you know, she's right in that, but I think the same thing is true with our faith in Jesus. Now, there's an example in Scripture, the sons of Sceva in Acts 19. It's an interesting story. If you're not familiar with it, I won't go through the whole thing now, but you should read it. It's actually quite funny. It's humorous and informative. It's both. But they try to use the name of Jesus. Paul's going around and using Jesus' name to deliver people. I mean, it's lucrative business. I mean, it's amazing what's happening. So these guys are like, well, we'll just do the same thing and we'll just say the same words, prayer, right? Because it's about what you say. And they tried to deliver this man or woman. Actually, I should look that up. But anyhow, the demons responded, we know Jesus, we recognize Paul, but we don't know you. And it says they turned on the sons of Sceva and stripped them naked. That's the funny part. And beat them and they ran them out of the house. So we look at that and it's an interesting story to have in there, but it highlights something. Prayer is more than just words that you speak or declare into the earth or into the air that are supposed to do something. It's founded on a relationship with God. And now they didn't believe Jesus. They didn't have any relationship with Jesus. But I think it's true that there are people that are saved by grace, that have initiated, they're already walking sort of with Jesus, but they have never taken the time to develop that long-lasting depth of relationship that we are being invited into. And it's to those Christians that I'm hoping to encourage this morning, and all of us, to take that next step in deepening our walk with Him. Because if you're one of those Christians who you've been saved by grace, you might go through some of the motions, but you don't know Him. You're gonna find when you're going through a fiery trial, when you need Him, you will pray, you may even hear a good word, but you'll find it doesn't resonate or it doesn't give you the strength that you were hoping or the answer that you were looking for. So how we view prayer matters. If we reduce prayer to the types of prayer, there are different types. I debated doing a message on that. You know, confession, thanksgiving, intercession, prophetic, petition, and there's more, supplication. But we miss the purpose of prayer, the primary purpose. We end up missing out on the greatest treasure of all that is found in prayer, and that is Jesus Himself. The primary purpose of prayer, just like the primary purpose of fasting, as we talked about last week, is to simply know God. That is an end in and of itself. You could spend your entire life pursuing that and it would not be wasted. You could neglect that one thing and build the biggest empire and miss out on everything. It's that important. The primary purpose is to know God. Matthew 6, verse 6, I quoted this last week, and I also talked about the fasting side, but it says, when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. It's like an invitation. And obviously, I mean, you read the context. He's not just talking about you can't pray in open. We pray in the open. But this is coming at the tail end of, don't just pray so others think you're spiritual. Like, it's not just about the words that you're saying and people seeing it. It's not about piety. There is an invitation into the secret place to meet with the Father himself. John 17, verse 3, this is in the high priestly prayer, which I love. It's part of my favorite four chapters in the Bible, which I say about everything, but still, John 14, 15, 16, and 17, you should read it this week because it's that amazing, and it will fuel prayer and intimacy. But in the high priestly prayer, look what Jesus said. He starts it off with, this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God in Jesus Christ whom you have sent. Our salvation, life, eternal life, the very things that we long for that make us human, that we think are found in success over here or getting what we want over here, Scripture says, no. He's written eternity on our hearts. The very thing we long for the most at the core is to know God. Now, we may reject that, we may resist that, but that is the reality. That is eternal life, to know him. One of the easiest mistakes we can make as believers is to forget our primary purpose, which is simply to know God. Paul said he counted it all loss. He lists off a whole bunch of things that he went through. And, you know, we read that and we say, man, I wish I could approach suffering the way Paul did. Like that I could starve, or I could be shipwrecked, or I could have no place, I could be rejected, I could be stoned, I could not on drugs, but like with actual stones. But you could do all these things. Got a caveat for people that don't know that scripture if you're young. But anyways, he went through all of that tough stuff, and he says he counts it all as loss. Like, it was okay. Why? For the sake of knowing Christ Jesus, his Lord. He had found something more valuable, of higher worth than any pleasure he could have gone through on this earth. And it was simply to know God. He found to be true what Jesus said in the high priestly prayer, that eternal life was knowing God. Paul just simply lived that. And that's why he could say that. Now, Scripture says Jesus will never leave us or forsake us, that he hears our prayers. And Scripture is authoritative. It's God's word. It's true. But I think many of us don't experience that, because even when Jesus is in the room with us, it feels like having a stranger there, because we've never taken the time to just simply know him. And if that's you, I would encourage you in 2025, I'm not just saying just today, this takes more than a day, to invest, to commit to the simplicity of fulfilling your purpose in just seeking to know God more. If you want to start praying something that God, you can be sure, because Scripture promises if you pray in line with his will, you can be sure he will answer. You can be sure. Well, one of the things he wants is for you to know him. He is beckoning, calling, inviting us to know him. And when you begin to really understand what that means, and we're not going to get into all of that today because I want to get to the next portion of the message, that it will just change the way you view God, change the way you view your life and your priorities. Without this foundation, though, our prayer life, just focusing in on the prayer life, will easily become full of anxiety and fear. And I've been there. Where it's just anxious prayer. You're just trying to get through it. There's just anxious prayer. And it's almost like, oh, I left more anxious than I came in. I don't even know if I want to go back to that. Because we're starting at the wrong end. We're starting with petition. We're starting with we'll just say these words, and then this is going to just lift. And he's like, no, child. I'm inviting you into something more. I want you to know me. That peace that passes understanding, it's not just the absence of conflict. I want to meet you in the storm. It's me. I'm the peace. But if you miss him, you can easily leave more anxious than you went into prayer. And by the way, I have done that many times, and I would like to say I'm growing and knowing God. So we can still kind of lose that and miss the point, right? It's kind of like when you're communicating with someone that you care about and you don't take the time to quiet and listen to what they're saying. You're just talking over them and then miscommunication happens. Yeah. But we could also end up avoiding prayer due to guilt or dryness or shame. Right? Or we feel inadequate or fear of failure. We don't know how to pray. I don't know what to say. I'm not spiritual enough. We have all these, you know, things in our mind, or I tried it. I didn't say the right words. That's why it didn't work out, because you failed to realize what the main purpose was. Now, of course, petition is an important part of prayer. We'll talk about that in a second. Or we might become legalistic in how we approach prayer. I've heard this before. Well, I mean, I prayed. I prayed for 30 days. I prayed for a week. I prayed every day for X amount of time, and God didn't answer, as though it's like prayer is this thing where if you, okay, you have 5 times you say it this way, and then you do 3 times like this, and then poof, you get your answer, as though it was some kind of magic trick. It's not that. Ultimately, though, if we miss out on the foundation, on the purpose, which is to know God, it'll leave us absent of the peace and joy that is found only in God's presence. And that is, I think, one of the core things that we long for as human beings, and it's something deeper than just feeling good all the time. It's feeling confident and secure and safe, even when the world is spinning around you. You can't find that anywhere else. Matthew 6, 7 to 13. Now we're going to look at the Lord's Prayer. Well, this is not quite the Lord's Prayer yet, but it's that section on prayer, and we're going to get to the Lord's Prayer in a moment. But it starts with, "And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for the many words." So just a quick thing about prayer, if you're new to the word, prayer is simply petitioning God or gods. So prayer is not unique. I will say there is Christian prayer that is unique to Christianity, but prayer in and of itself is not unique to Christianity. Right? Prayer is just petitioning gods or God. So that's why he's even saying there, don't pray like the Gentiles who don't know God. Don't pray like them like they do in their pagan temples. Don't do that. And then he's going to go on to show them what they should do. But the important thing to realize there is it's not just about repeating yourself or saying the right words in the right order. I think I've shared this story here before, possibly in the last prayer and fasting month. But I remember the first time going to a prayer summit. I think we were in the seminar room over there, but it wasn't the seminar room at the time. And everyone's splitting up into prayer. I think there's only 75 people there or 50 people. It's not that big. And everyone's splitting up. In my mind, the only thought I had was, I'll pray with anybody but Sean Lysak. Because if you've prayed with Sean Lysak, you know the guy was just, he was born praying out of the womb. Like the guy just, prayer just flows and it's just beautiful. And you're like, oh, the guy just knows God so much. So nobody wants to start praying out loud with him. No offense, right? Anyhow, I look around the room, everyone's partnering up. I turn around, Sean's like right there in my face. And I'm like, oh, hey, Sean, would love to pray with you. This is gonna be great. But we have this intimidation because we're worried about, and this is early on in my faith when I first came here, but we think prayer is about saying the right words in the right order and for the right amount of time. That's why I keep pushing against that idea with there's no bad prayer except the prayer you don't pray. It's the idea that we got to get out of that mentality, that legalistic mentality. It's not about how spiritual you are, but if you have breath in your lungs, you have an incredible purpose left on this earth in simply praying and knowing God. Next verse, he goes on to say, do not be like them for your father. So don't be like the Gentiles, for your father knows what you need before you ask him. Have you ever thought about how interesting that statement is? So remember, prayer means what? Petition. So we're petitioning, we're asking God for something, right? Okay, so we're asking God, and he's saying, don't be like the Gentiles who repeat themselves again and again, thinking that that's how they'll be heard. And then he says, your father already knows what you need before you ask him. Why pray? You see how odd that is? Like if it's not the prayer itself, if it's not the words that you say that is doing something, then why even pray? You're saying he already knows what I need, then he's just gonna do what he's gonna do anyways? It's a strange thing to say, and I think it's because, well, and I know, because the Bible teaches that Christian prayer is more than just a petition. It's more than just a combination, X plus Y equals Z. It's more than that. It's an invitation into knowing God. And that's why we still pray. He wants us to come to him so that he can answer those prayers and reveal himself to us and to the world around us. He wants us to know him. And I'm going to get on to the next part, which is he wants us then to partner with him to do his will on the earth, which is just a crazy idea that God would invite us, broken human beings, to partner with him to see his will, perfect will, done on the earth, because we get it wrong a lot. So pray then like this. So don't pray like the pagans. It's not about the words that you say. And besides that, your Father already knows what you need before you ask him. So pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Holy, consecrated is your name. That's what he's saying there. Holy, set apart, great, perfect, big, majestic, hallowed is your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You see, Jesus, so the disciples were wanting to know how to pray, and this is how he teaches them to pray. And the first thing is, before you go to petition, is to actually recognize who God is and look at the familiar or relational term by which we are to cry out to God, our Father. Now, if you're here and you didn't have a father, or you had an abusive father or an absent one or a neglectful father, I understand that you may miss out on the beauty of God being called our Father and him inviting us to address him in such a way. But God is not like any earthly father. He is full of love and majestic, and he is wanting our very best. He wants to draw us to himself. So before we get to petition, though, he wants us to come to him as children, recognizing him as Father. Now, there is relationship. Often we talk about, well, there's two sides to everything, totally, and there is here too, but it's not two sides like this. It is two sides like this. So we do have to recognize he is still God, our Father, hallowed be your name. We're putting ourselves underneath him. Recognizing that your kingdom come, your will be done. Jesus echoed those prayers in the Garden of Gethsemane. Father, if there be a way possible, let this cup pass from me, but not as I will, but as you will. So his regular everyday prayers actually lined up very much like this with what he taught in the Lord's Prayer. And then we go, your kingdom come, your will be done on the earth. So we want to see God's kingdom come on the earth. That is that Maranatha cry, the Lord has come, the Lord is coming. We were told or instructed to pray for God's kingdom on the earth. But the primary thing is for us to know him first. Then we get to the next part, the last portion of the Lord's Prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we've forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us. So now we look at our needs, our wants, the things that we are beseeching the throne room of God or coming to God, petitioning for him to move in. And those are all coming after recognizing him as Father, entering into that relationship with him, humbling ourselves before him, and then going into petition. Effective prayer seeks to know God and draw near to him as its primary goal. Not next week. Next week, Pastor Chris is going to be talking. I won't say what it's about, but I'm pretty sure it's about the Bible still. Yeah, oh yeah, we're still there. Okay. It's about Jesus too. Who knew? But after that, I'm going to come back and we're going to focus a bit more on some of the other passages. I'm breaking this down because you'll see that pattern in Scripture too, and why often we have, you know, anxious prayer or ineffective prayer, because we just go into prayer just blasting. It's the 911 prayers, and we never get to actually the relational side. And Scripture actually teaches us to start there, to start with worship, to start with lifting up his name, because he wants us to know him, and that's the primary purpose. J.I. Packer said, "Show me a person's prayer life, and I'll show you how much they know God." I always love that. He's passed away now. He's with the Lord. But I love it when guys say stuff that it's just so bold. He's like, oh, I can actually measure someone's amount of knowing God. It's measurable in minutes a day. It's measurable in how you pray. He said, someone who knows God inevitably will find themselves in prayer, and they won't be able to stop it because they will understand that everything comes out of prayer. Much like Pastor Reyes said, right? Prayer isn't everything, but everything comes out of prayer or proceeds from prayer. So the more someone knows God, the more energy they have for prayer. But the same is true the other way. The more someone prays, the more someone will inevitably know God. And so it works kind of both ways. And that's why it's a matter of growth. Psalm 37, 3-5. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Jesus echoed that in John 14, no, it's 15. But in John 15, that if we abide in him, and I'll use that verse later, but if we're abiding in him, that we can ask whatever we want and the Father will do it for us. By this, he receives much glory. It's the same thing we see in Psalms, and there's an order. You see, we'd like to isolate some of those surrounding verses, remove them, and just kind of hold on to, he will give you the desires of your heart. Sweet. Like, write that on the back of your hand, and that's why I'm praying, to get what I want. But that's not what we see in Psalms, and it's also not what we see in John. What we see there is, delight yourselves in the Lord. Remain in the Lord. And then your heart will change. When you know God, your heart will change, and then you will pray in line with his heart. You will get the desires of your heart. And the biggest one will be to know God. If all you get in your prayers is a deeper knowledge of who God is and his love for you, you've come away with such a big win. It's better than any financial gift you could have gotten anyways. Now, if you don't think that that's true, I would argue that it's because you've never gone away from your prayer time yet with a deeper knowledge of who God is. And then the challenge is, I would encourage you to approach prayer with that heart. Jesus, Lord, I want to know you more. Delight yourselves in him. It's not a dry knowledge, a dry knowing. It is a delight yourselves in the Lord. I won't go into the story because it's not mine. I never asked her if I could share. But my wife comes home from prophetic. I'm doing message prep. She comes home from prophetic yesterday, and I'm doing prep. And she comes in and distracts me while I'm trying. There's at some point in the sermon, I'm going to have a blip. And you're like, what is he getting at? This point. That's when she walked in and grabs me from behind, right? And violently hugs me. No, it was great. It wasn't violent. But I'm like, whoa, what's happening? She's just like, oh. She comes from a time of prayer. And Jesus just gave me the biggest hug ever, and I had to pass it along. That's someone who discovered the treasure and the purpose of prayer. That is the purpose. You get him, you got way more than any other answer could have been. You get him, and you start to understand why Paul says, I counted it all as loss. Why he could plead with the Lord to take away a thorn, and when Jesus said no, then he would say, well, then I'll boast even more in my weaknesses. If your power is glorified and made strong in my weakness, then I'll boast even more of my weaknesses so that you can shine even brighter than me. That takes knowing him to understand. Augustine said this, I like this quote, I've quoted it before. I know I'm kind of a broken record with some of my quotes because you get the favorite ones, right? That J.I. Packer one, I'm pretty sure I have it on a monthly timer for every 3 months to remind you. It's good. Augustine said, love God and do whatever you please. Bold statement from a long time ago. Bold statement. Love God and do whatever you please, for the soul trained in love to God will do nothing to offend the one who's beloved. Isn't that beautiful? I love that. Love God and do whatever you please, because if you really love him, if you get that right, your wants and desires begin to shift and change anyways. And it doesn't mean you're perfect, obviously not. And that's why we're told to confess our sins, and he is faithful to forgive. So if we understand the primary purpose of prayer is to know God, then right away, I want you thinking about that prayer card, right? We have the prayer card, we have our goals, the month of prayer and fasting. So then that changes, and this is why I think it's important, that changes how we even view that request. Because that request is not just about getting whatever I'm praying for. Lord, I want my knees to be healed so I can squat, which I actually do want that exact thing. I want that. But it changes to, okay, Lord, I do want that. But how can I meet you in this? What are you doing in this? It changes the heart of the prayer. It also means that when I hit a bump in the road or things hurt, I'm not thrown off and my faith's not thrown off because I already have the treasure. I'm meeting with him daily, every day. Okay, so primary purpose of prayer is to know God. From here, we have a lot of work to do. The next one is prayer is partnership. I could not escape that phrase all week. In fact, it almost drove me mad. Some would say I already was mad. Don't talk. My kids. Prayer is partnership. I often hear people get stuck in the thing of doing things for God. That's why I think this is so important. It's a different way of looking at it. prayer is more than partnership. It is. But I want you to think of prayer as partnership. It's not just like getting God to do something for you, or getting, you know, you pray for strength and now you go out on your own and do things for God. But I want you to think of a life where God is inviting you into partnership with Him, where you do things with God. Now, I often hear people talk about doing things for God. And I think that's where the works conversation kind of gets into play, right? Well, you don't work to be saved. It's not that. You work because you are loved by God. And it's kind of this thing that we always argue about. And then the next thing is, or people will, you know, they'll pray, they'll seek God for with a petition, but they'll never stop to actually ask God what He wants. What are you doing in this situation? What is your will in this situation? Or even things as simple as, I mean, we can listen in prayer for that. Even things as simple as, what does the Bible already say about my request? Okay, John 15, 7 to 8. If you abide in me, I already kind of alluded to this one, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, and you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. So, backing up, if you remain with me, so remain together, partnership, together. If you remain in me, abiding means remaining in me, we are together. If you remain in me and my words, his will remains in us. So we're with him, his words, his will is in us. We know his will. Then he says, ask whatever you wish as you are aligned with me and it will be done for you. That is partnership. Now, I wouldn't want you to go away thinking that this is 50-50 partnership. I think we're getting a lot better of a deal than that. But it is partnership nonetheless. We're partnering with God in whatever situation we're in to see Him glorified in our lives and on the earth. And that's what we see at the end of this verse here in verse 8. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. He wants to answer your prayers. But even here, you see that same thing. The prayers, the petitioning is coming out of the knowing. Remain in me and I in you. Partnership, we are together. There's a knowing. Then out of that spot, we ask whatever we wish. God answers for the glory of his name and the glory of his kingdom. Prayer is the primary way that we partner with God to see his will accomplished on the earth. The Lord's Prayer kind of models that. Now we can understand why 1 Thessalonians says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing. Why don't we say that part together? Pray without ceasing. Say it again. Pray without ceasing. One more time. Pray without ceasing. We should get a beat to that. Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. That is a wild command. It's absolutely wild. Pray without ceasing. Who does that? You have to work at some point. You have to do, you have to act, you have to live. That's exactly the point. Prayer is the primary way that we partner with God. Our actions come out of that. That is why Pastor Ray will have said, I think so anyways, prayer isn't everything. I should probably ask him. Is that why you said it? Prayer isn't everything, but everything proceeds from prayer. So it's not that we only pray, unless that's all we're able to do in a situation. Sometimes it's all we can do. But it's not that we only pray, but it is that prayer becomes the life source, the fuel behind everything else that we do. Why? Because it is in prayer that we meet with God. It is in prayer that we get his heart. It is in prayer that we get strength to persevere. It is in prayer that we get promises. There's all sorts that we get in prayer. All right, I want to show you guys a video, if we can get it working. It's actual footage of Christians trying to follow Jesus without a prayer life. Is it going to work? That's me in the crack. Imagine that young boy being like Jesus. Yep, there we go. He's gonna get saved. And we're out of problems. We're out of problems. We're free. Actual footage of a Christian trying to live a Christian life without prayer. It's like we get it to a point. we get stuck, we're crying out to God, save me, rescue me, rescue me. He gets us out time and time again because he's full of grace, loves us more than we can ever fathom. And we promptly get out and continue to run along our way again. And we get stuck again and again and again. Prayer, that's why Paul instructs those at Thessalonica to pray without ceasing. Because it is through prayer that we stay connected with him. We don't just run off on our own. It is in prayer that we get God's heart for what he's doing in a situation. Sometimes we're not supposed to be running like that lamb. Sometimes he wants us just to be still. Other times he wants us to walk together with him, and that's incredibly important. Sorry, I've seen that video before. Have any of you seen that before? It's been around for 3 years. I looked it up. I probably watched it, I don't know, 50 times. I just died laughing. I'm like, I can just picture myself in so many times of life. This is me to a T. It's like he rescues you, and then I'm like, great, I'm good to go. And we separate away from him. We forget that our life is about partnering with him. Now, John 12:26, if anyone serves me, he must follow me. Well, I get that. Those of you that are wired to go in life, you get that. If we want to serve him, we got to follow him. Absolutely. Yep, we're going to go hard. But then he says, and where I am, there will my servant be also. You can see it. It's all over the text in Scripture. This idea of if we're going to be with him, it's a partnership. He wants us to know him. He's inviting us to be with him. It's not actually about us as much as it is about him and him wanting to share his love and goodness with us. It's an invitation. You know, I was reading, I don't have time to go through it, but if you're reading through the Bible in a year, you probably were just reading this last week, Genesis 28, and going through the story of Jacob and Leah and Rachel and Esau and Laban and all those fun characters. You know what really stood out to me this year as I was reading it? And I'll say this with love, because from the patriarchs, all of the promises came through that lineage. The family's totally dysfunctional. That's what stood out to me this year. I'm just sitting there, I'm like, this family is totally dysfunctional. They're like deceiving each other, manipulating. They're doing all sorts of like shenanigans like that. And to each other and family. And yet God uses them. And all I could look at on that was just, Lord, that's what you do with me and with everybody else. We're all dysfunctional. We're all like that sheep. So it's not about us, but it's about him. But he's inviting us into something more. Where he is where we're supposed to be, not running off on our own. Prayer is key to keeping us aligned to what God is doing. That's why we're to pray without ceasing. Galatians 5, keep in step with the Spirit. Keep in step with what God is doing. You're not going to get there without prayer. And now, obviously, the word too, but we can't add everything into every message. So today we're focusing on prayer, okay? Chris can talk about that next week. Okay, Matthew. Now, I want to be very clear. This is not an equal partnership. You know, you enter into partners with someone and you start a business and it's 50-50. This is not that. But it's a partnership nonetheless. Matthew 11:28-30. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Can you throw up that picture of a yoke? So you'll see a picture of a yoke. That's me, the dark one on the ground. And then, no. But a yoke is essentially used to yoke two animals together. In many cases, when you have a weaker or a young oxen or whatever, you'll yoke them to a stronger one, and they will learn the path of being a good ox on how to be a good ox. Anyways, that's what Jesus is inviting us into, to yoke ourselves to him. That's why it is light and his burden is easy, because he carries the bulk of the load. But if you're not yoked to him, you don't experience that. That yoking is a partnership. It's not an equal partnership. He carries it all. He, just like he did on the cross, he carried it all. But you have to partner with him nonetheless. It's not a distant, I feel anxious, I'm running, I'm doing my own thing, running around in my life, trying to get my task list. Okay, I gotta pray, just get rest and keep running. You're like that sheep and you're gonna run into that ditch time and time again. It's going to take stopping and connecting with God, partnering with him, training yourself to do so in order to feel that. Rather than doing things for God, what if our aim was to do things yoked to God? So doing it with him, seeking his will, doing what he is doing. The prayer, the types of prayer, confession, deliverance, intercession, petition, supplication, the tools, they're all there for us to partner with God. Matthew 9, 36 to 38. I've alluded to this one too, but it's one of my favorites. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest." Okay, so Jesus, his heart is broken for all the lost people that he's looking at. The very first thing he does, he invites his disciples into prayer. But what's fascinating is the very next thing he does in chapter 10, which we won't have put up there, but you can look it up for yourself, is he sends those very same disciples into the fields to be those workers. That's the order. He invites them, he draws them in to get his heart, to get power. So they're not doing it on their own strength, to do it together with him. He invites them in through prayer. Prayer is partnership. He invites them to partner. Then he sends them out to go and minister. Years ago, the first time I preached here was 2011, November. That might not be right. It could be October. Anyways, I still remember preaching. I remember pacing. It wasn't on this stage. It was on the one that used to be where the cafe is. And some of you will remember me pacing back and forth really, really fast. I did that. Sorry if it made you sick. But before, when I was getting ready for that message, it took 2 weeks to get ready for the very first one. And it was good. Like, the prep time was good, and I'm praying and writing stuff down, praying and studying scripture, and you're getting it all going and you're writing it down. Very similar, just a lot longer than it takes now. But very similar. But as we got closer to the day, like when it was like Wednesday, a week and a half, I've been already prepping for a week and a half. We're getting towards Wednesday, and I'm about to go up on stage. I mean, about to. Now I'm usually not even started my message at that point. But at this point, I'm like, it's nearing. Like, D-Day is coming. I'm going to stand up in front of a bunch of people. It's happening. And anxiety was just great within my soul. And it was building. And it was getting so bad, I couldn't even prep anymore. Like, I couldn't get anything done. I was just so incredibly anxious. And finally, I called my brother at the time, and he called me in, and we went into the boardroom, and a bunch of staff came around, and they prayed for me. You know, when they were praying for me, the thing that I was struggling with is this lie, this thought that, okay, I kind of get like, you know, God prepares us. He prepares us. He gives you the thing you need, but then he sends you out on your own to go and do it. And I'm like, I'm not good enough to go and do it. I don't know how to do it. I just want to stay with him. And we were listening in prayer and asking the Lord where that lie was coming from. And he actually reminded me of when I used to kickbox. And our coach at the time, he would train you. He would work you out really, really hard. And then when it came down to fighting in the ring, he would leave you in the ring and wouldn't stand in your corner because it caused him anxiety or whatever it did. For whatever reason, he didn't want to be there because it was too fearful. The problem is, like, he just left you on your own, and then the guy that was with you was no longer there. Well, I had this understanding of God that he would do the exact same thing, and the simple truth was, when we asked the Lord to speak into that, was just, "Stephan, I will never leave you nor forsake you," just like what Scripture says, Hebrews 13:5. "I am not like your coach." And with that, a peace came into my heart. And I remember sitting, now it was a different sanctuary, but I was sitting preacher right over here, which is your guys' left. I was sitting preacher right in the front, and we're worshiping, and I had this sense of just going up and being with God. And that is my primary focus today. I don't know how many messages since that I still focus on when I'm doing prep. It is just simply to be with God, to share what it is that he has on his heart, to not just do things on my own, to be with him, to know him. Because if I'm with him, no matter what happens, I just know it's going to be okay. That's peace that passes understanding. But it's found in a knowledge, a knowing of God that you will not get just from saying a prayer. It takes an investment. Okay, through prayer, we seek to know God and partner with him to bring glory to God on the earth. So that's our primary prayer request, or you can change it or include that in your prayer request already. Lord, I want to know you in this. I want to know what it is that you want to do. I want to then partner with you is the next part. So we seek to know God, that's the foundation. And on there, we seek to partner with God in whatever it is that he is doing. And sometimes that is smashing down a mountain in front of you. He wants to pray that thing through and see it dissolved. And he wants to get glory that way. And other times you're in the middle of a fire and he wants to partner with you. He wants you to be aware that he is in that fire with you and he wants to strengthen you to remain. And he's gonna be glorified that way. Sometimes he's gonna ask you to go and reach out to someone, right? There's all sorts that he will do, but it's partnering with him and not just doing, like getting his will and then going out on your own. It's getting his heart and then doing those things with him. We partner with God in intercession, that's one. Romans 8 says the Holy Spirit and Jesus both intercede for us. Isn't that a wild thought? So when you go into intercession to intercede for others and to intercede for things that are going on in your life, you are partnering with God. So why not ask him then what he's interceding for? And we can find out a lot of his will, by the way, looking at things like the high priestly prayer. We look in scripture and then ask him, listen in prayer. Partner in seeing his will done on the earth, not our own. We partner with God in redeeming culture and people. We partner in loving the least of these. We partner with God in things like the each one, reach one. I mean, that's just the Great Commission. But it's not like you have to go and do this for him. He's like, I want to reach them. Do you want to come with me to reach them? Do you see how different that is than sending you off into the ring on your own? He's not that kind of coach. So I want to give us a little bit of time before we sing, and that's going to be to actually practice partnering with God through prayer and fasting because it's the prayer and fasting month. So if you have your requests here, you probably don't have your cards here, and that's fine if they're at home, but if you've been praying for them, you know what they are. If you haven't been praying for them, this will be an opportunity for you to take a request and begin to pray for it. So the very first thing we're going to do, though, is we are going to praise. And I want you just to think down. You can write it down if you want. But I want you just to worship God for who he is. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. I want you to think about his faithfulness in your life. You can think of personal things, small, ways that he's met you. Please do not forget what he did on the cross. Lord, we praise you that you are so incredibly patient and benevolent and kind and abundant in love towards us. We really are like that sheep who just continuously gets stuck in the same ditch over and over and over again. And yet you are rich in mercy. So we worship you and praise you. The next thing we do is now we bring our requests to God. We ask. This requires humility. But you have to ask, right? You have not because you ask not. So just take a moment and bring whatever your requests are. Doesn't matter how many you have. Bring them to the Lord. And then as we ask, we then listen. And there's two ways. You won't have time today for the two things. Well, right now. I'll just give you time to listen to what the Spirit wants to say to you about your request. But the Lord, he speaks to us in two primary ways, more than this, but two primary ways, and that is his word and through prayer. And so one of the really good things to do with your requests is look at what does Scripture already say about these requests? What does God say in his word? And then from there, we ask him to begin speaking to us. And what's important here is sometimes God changes our request. Sometimes the request you thought you had isn't the one that you actually end up praying. Like Paul, you're praying for something to be taken away. He says, no, my grace is sufficient. Paul switches his prayer. Other times, he'll instruct you to continue praying, or he'll give you a promise or something else. Take a moment and just ask, Lord, what do you want to say about our request? I know for some of you, I'm going too slow and others too fast. Take the steps, bring it into your devotional time. I just want to give you, these are some of those steps that you can take to actually growing your prayer life so that it feels like you're getting more out of your prayers. The next one is obey. It's action. Now there's multiple facets to this, but your obedience, your actions in life is coming out of your prayer times. So sometimes he shows you a sin you need to confess, and then you confess your sins and he's faithful and just to forgive. Sometimes our sins actually hinder the request that we're asking for. Other times he might give you a step of obedience, like you're praying for one of your kids to know Jesus. And then you get a thought that you're supposed to take them on a date or you're supposed to blank. That's a step of obedience, right? So you're praying, you're listening, and then now you're actually following, you're partnering with God to be a part of that answer, just like Matthew 9. You pray for him to send out a laborer, and then you're willing to be the laborer. Make sense? Lord, is there steps you want us to take? And as we go, and we're going to sing this final song, the last step is we pray and we fast, and we do so persistently. We keep on seeking. We keep on asking. We keep on knocking. And so I'm going to invite you to stand, but they're going to be singing. Before we sing, let's begin by praying our prayer request back to God, whatever it is that he showed you or laid on your heart. Let's pray that back to him, and then we're going to continue on in singing. Amen? All right, let's stand.
If today's message has encouraged you, please take a moment to rate us and subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you stream podcasts. For access to previous messages, videos, and live services, visit us online at myselfland.com or download the Selfland Church app. Thank you again for tuning in to this week's message.